The Writer Files, a member of the Podglomerate Network.
Oh no, I'm really excited. I'm like excited and a little nervous. Not nervous, nervous. It's just like you're like the first human I'm talking to that's read the book. So I'm like, oh my God, I've been waiting for this moment for months.
After I licked my runes, I was like, oh my God, I still want this. And that completely changed everything for me. I made an Excel sheet. I was like, I realized how much I'd learned. I realized how close I'd gotten. And then I realized like, no, this is what you have to do a job for the next 70 years. If you get to the average human lifespan, this is the job you want to do. So we're going to do what it takes to get there. So plan A was to try and get a debut deal. But I was like, you don't just want a debut deal. I was looking at authors at that time, like Saba Tahir, like Victoria Aveyard. I was like, you know what? There's about six authors that get like a really big debut deal every year and they get their movie rights. I want to be one of those six. I was no longer trying to be one of the 150,000 people who get signed by one literary agent a year. Like, I wasn't just looking for any random person to say yes. I was like, this is exactly what I want. I got super targeted.
And welcome back to The Writer Files. I am your humble host, Kelton Reed, wishing you pages, patience, and perseverance per usual. Number one New York Times bestselling author, Tomi Adeyemi, spoke to me about the film adaptation of Children of Blood and Bone, her evolution as a writer, and the final book in her Arisha trilogy, Children of Anguish and Anarchy. Tomi is the number one New York Times bestselling Hugo and Nebula award-winning novelist and screenwriter, named one of Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People, Forbes 30 Under 30 in Media, and whose website was named one of the 101 Best Websites for Writers by Writer's Digest. Her Children of Blood and Bone series continues to be a publishing phenomenon, acquired in a heated bidding war, with the first two books becoming instant New York Times number one bestsellers, spending over 150 weeks on the list and over 1.5 million copies in print to date, including recent paperback releases. The Nigerian-American writer graduated from Harvard with an honors degree in English Lit and studied West African mythology, religion, and culture in Salvador, Brazil. In this file, Tomi and I discussed her newly found balance and definition of success as a writer, facing rejection early on in her career, how she persevered through meticulous planning, why her acknowledgments are so lengthy in the long-awaited third book of her trilogy, what's next for the superstar, and a lot more. Stay calm and write on. And don't forget, you can always support this show by heading to writerfiles.fm, where you can also sign up for email updates and other resources for writers. And if you're a fan of The Writer Files, please click follow to automatically see new interviews in your podcatcher as soon as they're published, and drop us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to help other writers find us. Yes, we are rolling once again on The Writer Files. I am honored today to be joined by a very special guest. We have the number one New York Times bestselling author, Tomi Adeyemi, is hanging out with us. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, as you mentioned, this is kind of just the start of some of your promotion for the conclusion of this truly, truly landmark, groundbreaking trilogy of yours. But I can't wait to talk to you about all things writing and, of course, get into the latest. But what is the vibe over there? What's happening these days?
Wow. Okay. I know you're like, first question, and I'm like, oh my God, wow. Right now, okay, I mean, right this moment, I'm like a bit on pins and needles because I'm like, I'm dying to hear your reaction. My vibe right now, though, it's a really incredible and like abundant time. We like relaunched the entire series this year because we put out the paperback of Children of Blood and Bone, book one, in February. And then we put out the paperback of book two, Children of Virtue and Vengeance, in March. And the paperback of Children of Blood and Bone just hit the paperback bestsellers list. So we're like very excited because I've had fans with me from the beginning who've been waiting for the third book in this trilogy. But now I'm also reaching like an entire new readership. And that's really exciting. So on the publishing side, it's just been this like whirlwind. And in a way, every time a book drops, it's like passing the baton. And now we've passed the baton to, I mean, it's all me, but we've passed the baton to the final version of me and my publishing team. And we're like, okay, it's Children of Anguish and Anarchy time. So we're really ramping up for that. And then on the movie side, the movie is with Paramount Studios. It's being directed by Gina Prince-Bythewood. Her most recent film was The Woman King. And so she and I are working on the script. I'm also an executive producer on the film. So, you know, like my text messages, we're just going back and forth like all day, and we're on scenes and we're sending gifts and we're like, we're just really excited. And so much is happening on the movie side. It's like, I don't know what we can announce yet, but like, we're getting really exciting people and like on the crew. And it's an adventure. And then in my life, I'm working on my fourth novel. And then the other thing I do besides writing is modeling. So that's sort of the vibe. It's a lot of book stuff, really exciting movie stuff, still keeping that, I don't know if she's a girl anymore, but that person, that part of me that always sort of needs my own little world to exist in, keeping that alive with the fourth novel, and then getting cute and taking photos. That's like my vibe.
Amazing. Yeah, it doesn't sound like you're very busy, but yeah, I mean, I want to talk about writing and the writing life and all things, you know, that involves for you. But this is pretty fascinating. This just, it sounds like kind of a whirlwind career that you've had since Children of Blood and Bone, you know, kind of broke all these records and like won practically every prize that you can win. But when did it occur to you, I don't know, that this writing career was going to be something different, that it was going to be something more than just, you know, what a lot of writers consider, you know, that life, that lifestyle, you know, like one book a year and kind of, you know, coming out to promote it and then kind of going back away to your cave. But yeah, when did it turn into this phenomenal, you know, starburst of a thing?
I mean, I'll say this. I think it's a Maya Angelou quote where she's like, success isn't just liking what you do, it's liking how you do it. And so like, I am at the 8-year mark in my professional writing career. And I finally feel like, okay, I like how I do it. I like how I balance. The first 7 years completing this trilogy was an absolute whirlwind. It was like the greatest dream come true, but it was also so stressful. And it just took a huge toll on me. And so I guess when I think of the core of your question of like, when did you know your career was going to be like this, not like typical? I think you need to have a crystal clear vision of what you want your career to be. And then you need to pursue that diligently, strategically, and I'll say relently at first and then find balance. Of all the things I do. One of the things I do is actually teach an online writing masterclass. It's called The Writer's Roadmap. And we just finished a mentorship session. So that's me working with 35 writers over the course of 3 months. It's like, they don't just get the 10 video lessons I have. They're like, we're doing Zoom sessions. I'm coaching them on different parts of the business. And I'm very specific with them where I'm like, you need to say, this is the career I want.
Thank you.
When I was working on the first book that I ever tried to get published, it was called The Keepers. It took me like 4.5 years. It got 63 rejections from literary agents. At that time in my life, I just wanted a literary agent. I just wanted someone to say yes. Like, even if they didn't feel they could sell that book, I wanted them to say, like, you know what, but I see something in you, so I'm going to, I wanted to be validated. I wanted to be externally validated. The difference between The Keepers and Children of Blood and Bone is I had already validated myself. And that's not me, Kelton, being like, oh, I knew it was going to be a hit. It was like, no, no, no. I tried some really hard at something I was really passionate about and scared to say out loud for almost 5 years and quote unquote failed. After I licked my wounds, I was like, oh my God, I still want this. And that completely changed everything for me. I made an Excel sheet. I was like, I realized how much I'd learned. I realized how close I'd gotten. And then I realized, like, no, this is what you have to do a job for the next 70 years. If you get to the average human lifespan, this is the job you want to do. So we're going to do what it takes to get there. So plan A was to try and get a debut deal. But I was like, you don't just want a debut deal. I was looking at authors at that time, like Saba Tahir, like Victoria Aveyard. I was like, you know what? There's about 6 authors that get like a really big debut deal every year and they get their movie rights. I want to be one of those 6. I was no longer trying to be one of the 150,000 people who get signed by one literary agent a year. Like, I wasn't just looking for any random person to say yes. I was like, this is exactly what I want. I got super targeted. I made a plan. I said, here are the next 5 books I'm going to write. It's going to take me 6 months to write each book. Here's how much I have saved up. Here's the part-time job that I'm going to take to supplement my savings. Here's my monthly budget breakdown for, and like, now I know I can afford rent and Thai food because I didn't want to move home, which is a blessing if you can even move home, but I didn't want to move home and I wasn't going to give up Thai food. So I just got really systematic, or I had, again, an Excel sheet, a 10-year plan. And I was like, one of these 5 books can get me a literary agent. One of these 5 books can get me a book deal. One of those books can lead to a 3-book deal. And if I pursue this, just working hard, chipping away every day, then by the time I'm 30, I should be able to pay a mortgage with writing. I didn't even know what a mortgage was, but like, that was my plan. And I was 22 or 23 at this time. So yeah, I mean, I know this is a really long answer, but I guess if to any of your writers listening, I would say like, hey, you, if you want this, admit it to yourself and then admit exactly how you want it. Do you want it like Stephen King? Do you want it like Leigh Bardugo? Do you want it like me? Do you want it like Saba Tahir? You know, like, and even if I say like these people, like everyone has to find their own way of being in this business. I know I mentioned Victoria Aveyard. I believe she writes like 9 to 5 and she's done that her entire career. So she writes literally from 9 to 5. She takes a lunch hour break and she takes her weekends off. That's how she does it. Like, and I, for so many years, I was like, I want to do it that way. I don't work that way. you know, so it's, I don't know. I think Tahereh Mafi in an interview, once she says to write a book, she kind of locks herself like in her office for 2 weeks straight and just like explodes it all out of her, you know. Every Stephen King, I think he does 3 to 4 pages a day, no time limit, 3 to 4 quality pages a day. And, you know, sometimes that takes him like 2 hours and he goes to watch a baseball game. Sometimes that takes him 8 hours. The Stranger Things, the Duffer Brothers, they write 10 hours a day, like on Google Docs, like, you know. So there's no, when you ask like, how'd you do it? Like every writer is going to have to find how they do it, how they're productive. But I would say get specific about your dream, and it's really easy because you just look at who's doing it, you know, like who's doing it the way you're like, gosh, I wish I could do that. Start to work backwards and kind of use it as a framework, Because as you're working your way to that framework, you'll find your own style over the course of like a decade.
Well, I mean, I can't say congratulations enough. Obviously, lots of great things coming up in your future. And obviously you had mentioned the writer's roadmap, which I'll point to, and your home base there with all the great things. And like the modeling career, like what? That's like so cool. Like I didn't even know that this was a part of kind of your journey, but it's really, really incredible to see.
Devil Wears Prada was like my movie. The writer who wants to be abused by Meryl Streep and wear Chanel boots. I was like, yes, yes, this is me.
Well, I have had the honor of holding an advanced reader's edition of Children of Anguish and Anarchy. And wow, what a beautiful cover.
Thank you. This is my favorite cover.
Amazing. Amazing. I want to talk about the evolution, obviously, of you and the trilogy, and the story goes on. But I don't know, just tell us a little bit about what it feels like to come to this conclusion. Some of the love and the inspiration, obviously, that went into it, your own evolution as a writer. I don't know. I know this is a lot, but just, yeah, all the things.
Yeah, I mean, this trilogy, when I started like writing Children of Blood and Bone and when I published Children of Blood and Bone, I think I was 24 when I published it, but I still very much felt like young adult in my heart, like in my psyche. So this writing this trilogy was like a it was my own coming of age story. Like it very much was like the Lord of the Rings. And then by the end, I was on the mountain and, you know, it's like the people in my community were like, if you can't make it up the mountain, I'll carry, I'll put you on my back and I'll, you know, like I'm messing up all the accents and the words, but like I was like, I was Gollum, I was Frodo, I was Sam, I sailed the river. Like it was, honestly, I can't even believe it. I can't even believe it. It's one of those things where like, if I watched a Netflix documentary of it, I'd be like, holy, I don't want to swear on your podcast, but I'd be like, holy, because I don't know how I did it. And I'm still coming to terms with it. And I think a lot of the, there's so much relief from having finished the trilogy that I'm now I hold my three books like babies and Grammys. And I'm like, oh my God, I have a trilogy. Like I have a new sense of euphoria and pride. And then I've also grown so much as a human being. I've grown as a woman. It's like, I've become an actual adult. Like I know how to make salmon now. Like I don't just eat jelly beans. Like I still eat jelly beans. But when I was doing Children of Blood and Bone, it was just jelly beans. Now I'm like, okay, protein, you know? So it's been a wild, wild journey. And it's been a deeply spiritual journey too. It's funny because I met this mystical woman and she's just like, the thing about the Orisha, who are the spiritual beings who inspired this entire trilogy. She's like, when they like, I don't know if she said when they choose you or something like that, but she's just like, they require something of you. They put you to work. And the way I found this story, the way this inspiration hit me in Brazil, Bahia, Brazil, the largest population of Nigerians outside of Nigeria. Like I'll even try and get, you know, my publicist to mail you a pic or to email you a picture of like the picture that inspired this entire series. It's just four ceramic plates, faceless. I didn't know what I was looking at, but I saw a dark-skinned goddess in red, like just in a swirl of red. I saw like a beautiful, like light brown skin goddess, like commanding the ocean. I saw this like powerful dark skin African god, like commanding fire. I didn't know what I was looking at, but it set off an explosion in my head and the entire world of Orisha came to life. And it's so funny because I got to return to Brazil, not this past summer, but in 2022. And the first time I went there, I had just graduated college. This time I was going to their international book festival. I was on like, I had a huge profile in one of the biggest newspapers in the country. Like I was like, this is insane. And I wasn't done yet. So it's so funny. I just realized like Zaylee is chosen by the Orisha and she goes on this journey. And I honestly feel like I've had my own version of that. That's what it feels to put this trilogy out. Because like I said, it's like I'm so eager to hear people's responses, but then in a very real sense, I'm like, this was my own hero's journey. Going from this dream to this trilogy to all the sleepless nights to the signing, the marketing, the hustling, the movie franchise, like pushing, like, you know, you see a lot of sparkle because that's our society. Like social media is a sparkle reel. We're on interviews. It's usually a sparkle reel. So, but there's a lot of real pain and real life pain. Like even Children of Blood and Bone was a story of pain and all the pain I was in and needing an outlet. And I'm like, I look at how thick it is and I'm like, oh, that's a lot of pain. So it's been my own hero's journey. So to be at the end of it is very, one of the most emotional moments writing the third book was actually writing the acknowledgments and acknowledging every person who'd been with me on the journey. At any stage of the journey. Yeah, I can't keep saying journey enough. It's been a journey, and journeys are epic and they're harrowing and they're triumphant and they're tragic and they're beautiful and they're devastating. And then you get to the end and you're like, wow, I did that. Like I was in a car like last weekend and I was driving to a modeling thing and I was passing all these beautiful trees and like my, I think I was listening to Cowboy Carter. so maybe Beyonce is like, nothing stays the same. And I just teared up because I was like, you know what? I'm so proud of myself and what I've done with my life. And that means so much to me. So I think I didn't feel pride after completing a single book because there was always another deadline. There was a new book. Like, you know, I did 40 drafts of Children of Blood and Bone in 8 months. And then I had 1 week off. And then I started Children of Virtue and Vengeance. And then I was on tour. So it's like I've been through a lot during this process. And so now that there's no deadlines, it's just, like I'm talking to you now and I'm literally looking at all three books on my desk and I'm just like, wow, man, that's cool. that's cool. So I'm sorry, I'm answering so long-winded, but I guess it's just, there's a lot of inner, I think, peace and joy and pride because while you guys have this epic adventure of like Zaylee and her story, getting to a place where I'm looking at three books was my own epic adventure. So it's like I have my happy, my soulful Hans Zimmer music like in my head and like I wistful and, you know, that's where I am.
I'm a big fan of Hans Zimmer.
Right?
amazing. Well, I mean, congratulations, obviously. the third book in the legacy of Arisha comes out this June, 25th of June, but we have all of these paperbacks now. Again, I mean, just such an epic story. And of course, this earth-shaking conclusion, Children of Anguish and Anarchy.
New allies arise, the blood moon nears. Zaylee faces her final enemy, the king who haunts her heart.
Why did you just give me chills with the tag? I was like, ooh, that sounds good.
Do you do any audiobook stuff at all? Or do you have actors do that? Voice actors?
Oh, I do. So we have something really exciting. Cynthia Erivo is narrating Children of Anguish and Anarchy, that audiobook.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yes, I can't wait to hear it in her voice. She's so magical.
Yeah, well, I can't say enough about the complete legacy coming to a conclusion, but more on the horizon. And can you talk about what you're working on at all? Or is that just like under wraps in the vaults of...
I can say I believe it's my first adult novel. And I think it's even darker than my trilogy, which makes me laugh and scares me a little bit. But I'm in love. I'm in love with the story. I'm in love with the story. And yeah, I can say I feel like I have tomes inside of me. And like Children, The Legacy of Arisha, all those three books, they actually feel like one story. And so this is my next tome. And I'm also getting mentored by the writer of The Queen's Gambit. And it's been really cool. So yeah, I'm excited for all these stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't thank you enough for taking the time to do this. I know you got to run. You got plenty going on. So come back again. Talk to us about the writer's roadmap, about this mentorship. The latest, but yeah, appreciate you and all the best.
All right, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Oh no, this is an honor, and I would absolutely love to come back and talk about the writer's roadmap. Like,
please,
I'm really passionate
do.
About writers, and
okay.
We've had some great success stories. So yeah,
you are the best. Appreciate you.
All right, you have a great day.
See ya.
Thanks so much for joining us for this file. And if you're a fan of the show, simply head over to writerfiles.fm for more. That's writerfiles.fm.
And scene, we got it. Look at that, right at 11:30.
We got
Thanks
it.
Tell me.
Wait, you have to tell me what you think. You have to tell me what you think of the book.
I mean, I got chills, so I can't thank you enough for your work. And I can't wait to share it with my 11-year-old daughter when she's, you know, ready.